We're going to look at this evening the comfort in the temptation. And I don't like temptations. I don't like trials. I don't like those things, but it's inevitable fact of the Christian life. And we know that. And there's a comfort in it, as with most things that the Lord does in our lives. He brings with that a comfort. And this is a very familiar verse, I'm sure, to you. And so bear with me on this, but I hope it'll be a help and an encouragement to you. 1 Corinthians 10, notice verse 13, if you will, please. There hath, notice, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, just a portion of Scripture tonight, we'll go to a few others, but talking about this temptation of the Christian, we know that it's inevitable that it's going to come, it's going to happen. Notice with me a few things here as we jump right into it here, in the laying down the text or the context, if you will, of what's going on. Paul talking to this church that had a tremendous amount of problems, one of them being they were lured away from the faith by sin and the temptation to sin. And we saw this, we went through this, I think, last year through the book of 1 Corinthians, as we saw that in particular, some of the people within the church, where they were out of whack, man, they had some problems, and particularly with sin. Paul tells them now to understand this fact, that there is no temptation that comes into your life, or he says, taken you, it's common to man. So first of all, the comfort comes knowing happens to everybody. And the adversary works in what's called seclusion. He wants to seclude you away from everybody else and say, you're the only one that's going through this. You're the only one that did that. You're the only one that loses your testimony from time to time. Or you're the only one that has messed up here or there, et cetera, et cetera. We know we've talked about that. But talking about the comfort comes, first of all, that we're in this, the inclusion. The adversary seeks to seclude you. God says, no, you're included with the brethren. Isn't that a comfort to know? Now, there may be certain sins, and I've said before, you're tempted with what you've been exposed to. Some people aren't tempted with certain things. You're only tempted with maybe something that fits your fancy, or, you know, tickles the ivories, or whatever you want to call it, in your own life, right? Man, I like doing that. My brother-in-law has a motorcycle right now that he's through a client that passed away, and he has to sell a couple motorcycles and some two vehicles in this for this guy's estate. You know, he's got to take care of it, sell it. And I said, can I come look at him? And I went over and looked at him. And one of the motorcycles is beautiful. Oh my goodness. And it's a motorcycle I've always liked. It's a certain type of motorcycle. It's 1,000 cc's. It's a big bike. And what's that? So it's a Honda. Yeah, it's a good looking bike. Yeah. And I thought, man, this is nice. Anyways, and I'm starting to figure, I said, what do you think they'll want for it? He's like, I don't know, you know, this and that. And I'm him-hawing around about it. And the light bulb went on, and I said, you know what? I have no money. What am I even doing? And I told him, I said, man, I have no money. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, I got you. I know the feeling, you know. But I thought about, you know, how delusional that is, isn't it? You think, well, I could come up with money. How could I get this? And you usually have a spouse that is the voice of reason, you know. Honey, you have no money. And I thought about that. Kind of, I'm a very silly example, but we deal sometimes, if you're like me, with that type of temptation. There is something that we all deal with. And Paul says, remember this, friends, no temptation. It's such as common to man. It happens to us all. Notice secondly, though, he says God is faithful. The faithfulness. God is there with us. He is there. God is. We must believe God that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Wonderful truth that we find throughout Scripture. God is faithful. God is always there. God will comfort. One of the things is that we think, well, are there certain times in my Christian walk in life when I'm tempted or go through something that God will not be there? That's a natural thought. Because we deal with people, and we've dealt with people our entire lives, and we find out one thing about people, that you can't trust them. They're fickle. They're fake. They're frauds. And that's usually us as well. We have to be very careful. They're not going to be there all the time. They say they will. You've had a friend before. I know you have, or a family member, or a spouse even, maybe a child. Oh, I'll be there for you. I'll help you out. And then they didn't show up. They're not there. They're fakes and frauds. God's faithful. I like that. The F words there. I shouldn't say that, but you don't understand. The faithfulness of God. Who, then notice this, will not suffer. Note who's in control. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? A wonderful thing about this, if we'll trust the faithful God, He will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able. It seems the opposite sometimes, I know that. You say, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? Because I don't think I can handle much more. God says, yeah, I know what I'm doing. God's hand is still on the thermostat. He knows how much He can handle. Now remember that. He will not suffer you to be tempted. This is in God's hand. God is allowing this for a reason. We don't know why. We don't know why. We know that God is directing. God is moving. And then He says, but will, here's another comfort, with the temptation. You know, some people preach and teach and hope and pray that they'll just avoid the temptation altogether. Let me go around it, Lord. I'll just let me skip around that. No, notice what He says. Will with the temptation. Will with, it's there. You have to deal with it. You got to go through it. But with it, alongside of it, will make a way to escape. There's the trap door. I like that. The trap door that He gives that ye may be able to bear it. Ye may be able to handle it. You and I know we have a faithful God. With the temptation, He gives us a trap door, if you will. He gives us a way to escape. He gives us an opportunity to get out of it. But sadly, for most people, they don't want a way out of it, do they? They fall into the temptation and they fail and they stumble. As I said this morning, we take those stumbling blocks and we can use them as stepping stones, not as something that completely destroys us and keeps us down. No, we take and use that as we understand it. Now, He gives us a little point here, a little insight of God's working in our lives. My friends, can I encourage you with the comfort in the temptation? Okay, now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's see this now. 1 Peter, he talks a little bit about the trying of our faith. Very similar but different, we know. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now notice, if you will, verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, he says, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So Peter puts it a different way. He says, now notice back in verse number 6 there, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Temptation is seasonal. Again, the adversary not only wants to get you to think that you're the only one going through this, there must be something wrong with you. No. But he also wants what? You to think or believe that temptation is constant. Problems are trials are constant. I just can't get out of this rut. No, that's not true. That's not true. It's for a season. Then he says this, if need be. Do you know that we need that? Underline that in your Bibles. If need be. We need it. Now, who is that up to? Well, sure is not up to me because I don't want it. If need be. Do you need this temptation right now, Tim? No, I've got it under. I've got everything under. God says, no, you need it. You know, God, if need be, you're in heaviness. Heaviness, that's burdens. That's a little bit of stress you felt and you, I'm sure, feel tonight, the heaviness of the burdens, of the weight of this world and of the trials, temptations, and stresses and strains of life. Notice through manifold temptations, multiple, all different kinds at different seasons. You ever feel like when it rains, it pours, right? I mean, when it just comes down, it comes down. You're not only having to deal with this people over here, you got to deal with this financial problem, you got to deal with this wayward child or this problem over here. It's on and on, isn't it? And then he says, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, The trial of your faith. Think about that. Your faith needs to be put on trial. I don't know why that is for me personally, but it has to be. It's got to be put on trial occasionally. And I said it a while back, but if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would they find you guilty? There's not enough evidence to find you guilty of being a Christian. No, you got to be kidding me. I go to church all the time. I try to read my Bible all the time. I mean, no, we didn't find enough witnesses. We didn't find enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian. And notice what he says. The trial of your faith, not mom and dad's faith, not sister's faith, it's your faith, personal. It's much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Again, as we talked about a little bit last week, dealing with that wood, hay, and stubble, that gold, silver, precious stones, those things put through the fire, they'll put through the fire as we see it. So the trial that comes, the things that happen, the temptations that come, the manifold temptations sometimes come, but in it we find the great comfort. Now again, can I just share just a couple things with you here that we understand first of all, and remember that God is for us and God loves us. God is for us and God loves us. Whatever comes into our lives, we understand it's for our good and His glory. Our good and His glory. What happens, what we go through. Now, again, you understand I'm talking about the child of God that's walking according to the Word of God and is walking in the will of God. Somebody who's wayward, walking and living in sinfulness and other things, and falling and succumbing to the temptation and then sinning because of it. We understand that there's consequences to that. I'm talking, again, you know, to the believer that's right with the Lord. We understand what comes into our life. God loves us. God is working with us. He wants to see us succeed. I like that. He's not mad at us when He tests us. He's not mad at us when He allows those things into our lives. Again, that's an adversarial attack. He told Adam and Eve that. He said, you know, God doth know. What's He saying? Well, God's hiding knowledge from you. God doth know, and you should know, but He didn't reveal it to you. I wonder why. Because He doesn't love you, and He doesn't trust you. Do you know God trusts you? Have you ever thought about that? We trust God. We're supposed to trust God. But God trusts you. He trusts. Now, we blunder that. I blunder that all the time. But He gives me another chance. Tim, I'm going to give you another chance. Lord, are you sure? He says, yeah, I trust you. Okay. A wonderful portion of Scripture I read through about a month ago as God is speaking to Abraham. And Abraham, he says, in essence, God says, I know I can tell Abraham my plan because I know what he's going to do. And I know that he's going to share it with his family and his children. Basically, I trust Abraham. And God trusts you tonight. You need to accept that. If you trust me, Lord, you're entrusting me with this precious holy book, and you're entrusting me to share it with other people, and you entrust me with these precious babies and these children at home, and you've entrusted me with a spouse who loves the Lord and serves the Lord and is not running around behind my back, then there's something I can do. I can respond to that, and I can serve you faithfully. You trust me, Lord, I trust you, and vice versa. Isn't that wonderful? He does not only is He not mad at us, but He does not forsake us in the trial, as we already talked about. Now, Satan lies about that to us constantly. He's forsaking us. We know in Hebrews, he talks about, and in particular Hebrews 13:5, He will never leave us nor forsake us. God has promised to never forsake His child, to never leave him. We have an influx today, especially in America, of abandoned and left for nothing children, don't we? They're abandoned. They're left. Our adoption agencies are so full. The fostering of kids, they're overwhelmed. What is it? Parents that just abandon their kids. Now, there's certain circumstances, you understand, I know, where they had to give the children up and all of that. And usually the children have a better home when they're with somebody else. But you understand, there's people that abandon the kids. God says, I'll never abandon my children if you trust me and follow me. Now, it doesn't mean we're not exempt from trial, tragedy, pain, loss, heartache, but we are trusting the Lord. God loves us. God takes care of us. He loves us in a very special way. You can read through Romans 8 again. I'd encourage you to do that sometime. to realize and understand what God and His love for us and what it is. Number two, can I say, we should consider it normal. Normal. And thinking through this, it is a normal thing, as we already talked about. It is normal. It is normal to go through these things and through these trials. He says, think it not strange. Think it not strange. Don't think that it's strange to go through these things. It's not strange. It's a normal part of serving and normal part of the Christian life. And I often think about, as I read through the Bible, these great saints, these great mighty saints of the Lord, and the things that they went through. Much worse than we go through, by the way. I mean, you would think of a man like Daniel who'd been mutilated physically and every other way and gone through all that he went through and how he was still faithful to God and how he still served God, how he didn't run around and live in sin just like his other friends did in that wicked city, in that wicked place, and all that they were tempted. You would think, no, what? He went ahead and served God anyways, didn't he? He went ahead and prayed anyways. You can't pray anymore. Well, I'll do it anyways. Well, because I trust God rather than these bozos that are putting these laws on me. You would think that, right? I mean, you would think Joseph, after all that he'd gone through, I mean, okay, he got up out of prison. Okay, he made his way up through in Potiphar's house. Okay, he did all, and then he was sent back to prison. You would think, okay, forget it. I've already tried. You know? No, he said, I'm going to go ahead and trust God still, thinking through this. We go on and on and go through countless story after countless story of knowing and understanding of that God's in control, and if we're faithful, God will be faithful. We're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, we must remember that. We are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. And knowing that, understanding this, go through many of these verses. He says later in verse 16 there, be ye holy for I am holy. Again, there's the identification. The holiness that we are to exemplify. But we see that we are partakers of that. We are associated with Christ. We are supposed to deny the flesh because of an identification with Christ. And we are different from this world. We should be different. He says, come out from that. Notice verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. Notice that, former, in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Again, that's your lifestyle. What's he saying? Come out from among them, right? We're partakers of Christ. We're a part of him, part of his family. Can I say also with this, we're recipients of Satan's wrath. We're recipients of Satan. Now turn over to chapter 5, 1 Peter 5. Although Christ loves us and although we're supposed to treat this normal, sometimes it's challenging because we have a real adversary, and you've read these verses before, I'm sure, but verse number 8, chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same, here it is, afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There it is again, right? It's common to man. Everybody goes through it, but understand we have a real adversary. We are recipients of his wrath. Why? He hates Christ. He hates the church. He hates that you're here tonight. He hates that you have a family that loves the Lord. He hates and will do everything he can to get your children to not serve God. He hates everything that you are doing for Christ. And he's working tirelessly to try and destroy your faith. Now, he can't have your salvation, but he's going to try and get you off the out of the race so you cannot reach other people for Christ. And I've said before, but the number one goal in Satan's agenda for your life, although he can't have your salvation, is to take your life. If he can take you off this earth, then you cannot be faithful to church and you cannot be a witness for Christ. But God has kept you here. God has kept you here because he has some good plans, some big plans for you. Can I say here, and we'll wrap it up with these last two here. We need to expect some of this. Some people don't expect it. I know it's coming, but really we don't. We don't really expect it, do we? We don't really anticipate the challenges that may come in our lives. He says there are fiery trials that may come. It's needful, again, for our character and our growth. Easy to say, I know, hard to do. Psalm 66, you don't have to turn there. But he says in verse 10, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused them to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. You brought us through fiery trials, Lord, but you brought us out. You brought us out. That's what he says. Understanding this, God must, as we've seen before, but burn out that dross. He must burn out the dross. We think about this. We go through many things in our lives of what God is trying to do with us. And by the way, it's not hard to do. Is you just get alone with God for just a little bit, and he'll start speaking to you. Lord, what is it? What is it? Why do I need this trial? Why do we need this difficulty right now? Why do I have to have this? And God will reveal some things. Now, God is not angry with you. God does not want to punish you. He's working to what? Perfect you. The wonderful word in the Bible, perfect. It doesn't mean sinless or faultless. What does it mean? It means complete. To think of a circle, full circle, completed. That's what perfect means. Be ye perfect as he is perfect. What's completed? You're equipped. You have everything you need. Now apply it and be perfect. We know these trials are manifold. They're heavy. It's the reality of our faith. It's a reality of our faith. True faith, you go through some difficulties. I get real leery when I hear people that are supposed to be Christians talk about how their life is peachy keen. I get real nervous. Do you? I mean, these people, some of these guys on TV, oh, just, you know, give to God. God will bless your life. You have no problems. You know, that's a lie. We know. That's not true. Now, are we blessed beyond measure? Absolutely. We know that. We have everything we could ever need beyond that. We're blessed. Three quarters of the world this very hour are literally searching for something to eat. Three quarters of the world right now are under a dictator that's seeking to murder them and do all kinds of atrocities. Our brethren right now in China, you saw this maybe a while back, they got drone footage of these concentration camps in China. Who's in those concentration camps? Well, the people that are against the government, but a lot of them are what? Christians. They label them another derogatory term, but they're Christians. They're our brethren. That's what they're dealing with, and I know that we're blessed, and you know that, and all those things. But it's the reality of our faith to think about. We must go through these things, understanding that. Now, again, God has blessed us so rich, and I pray to God that he will bring us through, and I know he will. But whatever it is you're going through, and then he says, lastly, in these texts here, to rejoice. Rejoice. We're allowed to be a part of his suffering. We're allowed to be a part of him. Philippians 3, he talks about a lot of that. Be like him. Be a part of him. Think like him. And on he goes. We're not alone in this. We're being closely supervised. I like this. Notice if you're there still in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, notice verse 10. But the God of all grace... Oh, you want to underline that one. God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Notice this. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, completed, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, I don't like that. After you've suffered a while, then, you know, he's going to strengthen you through that. It just brings to light, and I have here, that we understand it's being closely supervised. Everything, as I said again a few weeks ago, everything that happens to us, God permits it or he ordains it in our lives. But you think about this. Everything that happens is closely supervised by our Lord and Savior. Closely supervised. And it takes a child of God that's close to the Lord and spends time with him to understand that, because it's easy to say and hard to do. We can't understand all of it. Oh, Lord, why? But if you're close to the Lord, you know, Lord, you're supervising everything. I know you're in control. I know that. And you're preparing us, let me say lastly here, for the return of Christ. He's preparing us. He's preparing us for that great return. The trial of your faith, it's more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Notice, be found in the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. His appearing. I believe is coming soon to a city near us. He will return. He'll call us home, and I hope to be found faithful wherever that may be. Amen? But anyways, thinking through this tonight, that we see the comfort in the temptation. Think about it. God is faithful. God is faithful. who will not suffer you above that you're able. Okay, so Lord, you know that. You know what I can handle, obviously. Okay, so you're not going to overwhelm me with this. It's seasonal. It's not going to be all the time. You're doing this for my betterment, for your glory, for my good. And you're showing evidence in my life to other people that my faith is real, that it's real. I hope it is for you, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. Peter says, think it not strange. Think it not strange. Know and understand God is faithful. He's there with you. He's guiding you, and He's directing you. All right. Lord willing, we'll look at a little more next week, but we'll stop there tonight. I hope you have a good week this week. And remember, God is faithful in all of these things. You know, you have people you're praying for, I'm praying for as well. One of the areas that I struggle with is that you pray for people, you try and reach people with the gospel, just seems like they don't want to hear it, you know, they just don't care. And you work tirelessly at that. I want to encourage you not to give up on that. Keep going, keep praying for people, keep reaching them the best you can. You may not be good at just presenting the gospel to them, but through your faithfulness, your testimony, your walk with God, it'll pay off. Trust me, it will pay off. And I know you know that. But I pray you stay faithful this week again. Stay in your Bibles. Stay in your prayer closet. And you won't be disappointed. God will reveal some things to you as He does to me throughout the Word of God. It's so, so enjoyable. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for time to spend in your Word this evening. And just an opportunity to look at some things tonight that, again, I know as I look at our people that are here tonight, they're faithful, they love you, they serve you. They're super Christians in a lot of ways, and I appreciate so much of their testimony. And Lord, but we all face difficulties from time to time. It's just inevitable. Every day of our lives, something comes up, something happens. Strengthen us through that. As we saw tonight, that God, it's common, and that you're faithful, and that, Lord, it's evidence of our faith, and you are keeping a very close eye on everything that happens in and through our lives, and we trust and know that. Help us to stay faithful to you this week. Guide us, please, and direct us how we love you, praise you, and thank you, but open up opportunities for us to come into contact with those people you want us to reach with the gospel. Help us in our prayer time. Help us in our Bible reading times, Lord, that you'd open those doors up for us and make time for that. Strengthen us to take advantage of that time. We love again and thank you for a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen.